You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
I feel like James Bond. Is anybody else with me? That's awesome. Thank you, Mark, for your work. Happy New Year, everybody. It is great to see you. If you are a guest, we are excited that you are here on this first Sunday to start something new in your life, and we want you to know this is the kind of church that's going to love you well because we believe that God loves us well. This is the kind of church that's going to help you learn well because pursuing a life with Jesus Christ is a life of discipleship, and we learn and we grow in grace, and that's going to help you live well. Live well for the glory of God. I wanted to start today by letting you know that our teaching notes have been updated a bit. Check it out. There's some resources in there for you. And I also thought we'd start with a little polling this morning. High school, and if you're still in middle school, this works too. How many of you, more of the athlete group, show of hands? How many of you more the mathlete, band kids, smart people? How many don't want to play? Okay, there we go. We can do that. Next one, how many of you love being around people? You get energized by this? You're like, yay! How many of you are excited that Christmas is over and you don't have to talk to anybody for a while now if you don't want to? Awesome. Who are my rule followers here? Oh, I love you guys. Who's the rule breakers? Let's go. I love it. How many of you are professional worriers? If you could be paid to worry, that's all you? Okay, how many of you just, I don't worry much. I take it as it comes. I'm mildly envious this morning, but that's a different topic for another day. All right, fess up time. How many of you feel like you're thriving in life right now? So excited for you. This is awesome. How many of you are saying, I'm not exactly where I want to be? Good, appreciate that. You know what I love about having this seat on Sunday morning in moments like this is to watch everybody watching everybody else. Seriously, people look at one another and they go, I never really knew that you felt that way. Or if there's a question maybe you're a little uncomfortable with, you know, you kind of put your hand up this far. I don't want anybody else to see me. And sometimes you go, I just don't want to play at all because I don't want people to know how I feel about this particular subject or topic. Or what have you. We care a lot about what other people think, yes? We care a lot about what other people think of us. And for the next 6 weeks, we're going to dive into this teaching series. I want to start it with a central premise. And the premise is this: our identity shouldn't be determined by someone or something else, only God. Our identity shouldn't be determined by someone or something else, only God. And here's why this matters. The God of the universe created you. And the God of the universe has given you a certain identity. You're a man. You're a woman. You are tall. You are shorter. You have certain gifts. You have spiritual gifts that you use. You have certain inclinations. You're wired in a certain way. You're a people person. You like to be on your own. You have a specific God-given identity, and you have been inserted into creation for this time and in this place because God has a purpose for you. And in having that purpose in your life, you are part of God's overarching plan for all of creation. So your identity matters. Why then do we let other people or other things tell us who we're to be or what we're called to do? Now, do we want to be formed and shaped in community? Absolutely. But our identity, it comes from God. And the struggle is, if you were to talk to most people about everything from, you know, their hair type to their complexion to how athletic they are, how smart they are, what have you, we would all come up with this area in our lives and we'd say, man, I just feel like I fall short there. Because I look at somebody else, and when I compare myself to them, I just don't meet the standard. I just don't match up. I've got no shot, whatever it is that you say. But this is silly, friends. And let me tell you why. You're still in process. You believe this? You're like, well, what do you mean by in process? You're in process. Here's what I mean, and here's how you know if you're in process. You ready to stick your arms out like this? Put two fingers right there. Okay, if that's moving, you're in process. If not, we have some doctors in here. Please raise your hand and we will help you, or they will help you. You're still in process. I tell our kids all the time, do not peak in high school. Do not peak in high school. And here's the thing, for some people, their greatest moment was high school. I want to encourage you, if you had a great moment in high school, I'm excited for you. That's awesome. But God has more for you. And if you're like most of us and you look back in high school and go, oh my goodness. The good news is we're still in process. God's forming us and shaping us to be the man or woman of God that he's called us to be. So don't let anybody steal your identity away. Don't let anybody steal your joy. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't measure up, that you're lesser than, that there's no purpose or plan for you, that you're not worth it. Because here's the deal, that is the oldest trick in the book, quite literally. I'm going to show you exactly what I mean. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you'll not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Interesting thing. Genesis 2:25, at the end of creation, we're told that the man and woman were in the garden and they were naked and they felt no shame. They were in the garden, they were naked, they felt no shame. And then Genesis 3:1 unfolds and it says, the scriptures say this, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God has made. And here's the interesting about that word crafty as compared to that word naked in Genesis 2:25. The people in the beginning were created good and in the image of God, but immature with a certain level of naivete and vulnerability. I mean, God says to him, here's the deal. This is all yours. Trust me, I'm going to provide for you. You know, I give you everything. I've got one family rule. Don't eat the fruit of this one tree. When you eat of it, you'll die. So they're naked. They're vulnerable. There's a naivete there. And the word crafty, same consonant letters in the original language. It's almost like the craftiness is meant to exploit the vulnerability and the nakedness in Genesis 2:25 of people. They're innocent. They're vulnerable. They don't have all the answers. And what the serpent does is he exploits it. Notice what the scriptures say. Scriptures say, he said to the woman, did God really say, that's where it all starts. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Oh, that's a lie. Because that's not what God said. Did God actually say that you may not eat of any tree in the garden? Did you misunderstand it? Are you sure that's what God really said? Do you really have enough wisdom here to know or to presume to speak for God on anything? Are you serious right now? Is he keeping a secret from you? Do you know what God knows? And here's the thing, friends. Same thing happens all over our culture today, doesn't it? Do you really know? Do you really know who you are? Do you really know who you're called to be? Can you really trust God? I mean, isn't that kind of old and hokey? I mean, look at the book. It's a book with talking snakes. Are you serious right now? You're going to trust in this book of talking snakes that God has this plan for you, that God has a way, that God wants you to live in a certain way of life. Are you really sure? And at the heart of the questions that our culture asks us related to this is one singular question. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Same thing in the most cinematic reveal of all time. Picture it with me. Luke Skywalker. Right? Spends 1 week camp at the Dagobah swamp with Yoda. And he's feeling a little puffed up. I got this. Vader guy. Got a blue lightsaber. Good to go. Takes him on. It's going really well for a while. And then what happens? He gets smoked. He gets his hand chopped off. And then in the greatest cinematic reveal of all time, Luke says, or Darth Vader says, I am your father. I mean, it's like he should have known it was coming. The word Vader means father. But Luke, do you know who you are? And Luke says, no, that's impossible. That's impossible. That can't be true. But the same thing plays out in our lives every day. All kinds of questions get raised. Who are you? Do you know who you are? And that's where it starts to go wrong, because notice how the woman responds. She starts by mimicking exactly what God told them and then picks up in the back end of Genesis 3:3, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, and adds to it, neither shall you touch it. God never said that. He said, don't eat it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Instead of turning to God to remind us, here's who you are, here's what I've called you to do, here's who I've called you to be, we allow ourselves to become twisted by the lies and the whispers of serpents and of what the world has to offer. And let me help you with one of the greatest truths that will help you in your life. The moment you start to debate with those who twist the truth, who try to exploit your vulnerability, who make you feel like you're naked or lesser than, or attempt to remake you in your image, friends, the moment you do that, you've already lost. Speak the truth in love. That's not what God said. Well, how do you know that? Right here in the Word. That's not what God told me who I am. Well, how do you know that? 2,000 years of church tradition. That's not what God told me. Are you sure that's who you are? Well, God told me this. And I've got a community of people around me who align with Scripture and align with 2,000 years of church history and have said, yeah, that sounds like a faithful Christian experience you've had. Live into that. If you know the truth, at the end of the day, speak the truth and be willing to say to somebody, you know what, you're entitled to your opinion, but I see that differently. Why can't we do that? I see it differently. I don't see it the same as you. You're entitled to your opinion. Eve knew the truth. God didn't say don't touch the fruit. He said don't eat the fruit. But she kept the debate going. And she allowed the vulnerability in her life to be exposed. Could God be trusted? Could she put her life in God's hands? Was God telling her the truth? Did God have her best interest in mind? And women, if I'm making you squirm for just a minute, hold on. Because notice what the scriptures say. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband. Guys, repeat this with me. Who was with her? That was weak, guys. Let's try it again. See, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who? Yeah, it's still weak. Who was with her, guys? There we go. See, the woman has to yell it. She's got it. Let's try it one more time. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband. Now I believe you. And that's the crusher, guys. The man said nothing. Nothing. And in our culture today, men are becoming less than men. I'm not talking about your role is to dominate your wife. That's not what I'm after. In fact, the picture of Scripture gives it to us. The woman is created out of the side of the man, not of the head so as to be greater, or out of the feet so as to be lesser, but out of the side so as to be equal. And if somebody is sowing seeds of discord and hatred and lies into your wife's life, Guys, it is your responsibility to say stop and get the hell out. Where are we? The thing that drives me nuts about Lexington culture is this. It's the two-step. Well, I'm not going to say anything. That might offend somebody. I don't want to do that because, you know, Lexington's a small town, so I'm not going to say that. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Forget it. Speak the truth and speak it in love. It's your responsibility as a man of God to do that. And that's what we do. It starts with listening to the voice of the serpent who want to remake us into their own image. We allow our vulnerability to be exposed and exploited. And the identity theft starts when we exchange the identity God gives us for the one the world has fabricated. And in that moment, we cease being God's creation. We've become somebody else's. Happens quick, doesn't it? We believe the voice of a parent who told us, you'll never make it. Or we believe the voice of a friend who says, unless you break the rules like us, you can't be part of the group. Or the voice of an old romantic flame who said, well, you weren't beautiful or handsome enough. Or the voice of our culture that says, unless you own this and have this and possess this and are at this level, well, really, you're lesser than other people. It's all lies. The moment we trade in the authentic God-given identity for the ones that the world has to offer, we've stopped being God's creation and we've started becoming somebody else's. And it leaves you always wanting somebody else's approval. Let me tell you why that's the worst decision you could ever make in your life. How many folks know here this morning people are fickle? How many people know what slaps today is cringe tomorrow? Oh my gosh, there it is. It's exactly how it works. People are constantly shifting their preferences, and the reason why is at the heart, we all feel a little bit naked and vulnerable and exposed in some way, don't we? So if you come to me and say, well, you know, I'm really struggling with this, and I say, well, that's a problem. But is your tendency going to be to share your weakness or vulnerability with that other person? Maybe if you're in a tight-knit community, yes. But more often than not, that's not the way that the world works. Why would you leave your identity in the hands of people who are fickle? You wouldn't put your life in the hands of an addict, would you? Because you know that they're out after the next fix. So are people. You wouldn't trade in a $1 million diamond for one that was created in a lab, would you? Are there flaws on the inside of a $1 million diamond? You better believe it, but there's something beautiful and good, and it's incredibly valuable. One created in a lab? Why do we leave our identity in the hands of ever-changing people? But we do, and you see it all the time. These folks who, by the world's standards, it's success. And they've made it, and they went to the right school, and they have the right family, and they live in the right house, and they have the right job, and they're a scratch handicap at the local country club, or whatever it is. They have all of these things that are completely lined up, and by the world's standards, everybody goes, I want to be like that person. And you ask them, how is it with your soul? And they say, man, I'm miserable. I'm trying to figure out who I am and why I'm not happy, why I'm struggling. I want to know what my purpose is. Don't define who you are by the world's measurements of success. Define them in such a way as I'm living out into my God-given identity. It is no wonder why our culture is so filled with folks who have anxiety and depression and our suicide rate is so high. Because comparison is the thief of joy, isn't it? There's an app for that. It's called Instagram. There's another one. It's called Facebook. And if you're cool and younger and, you know, you're into slaps and cringe and all that stuff, it's called TikTok. People, they wander the way through life like that, always having whispers in their ears, and they're asking themselves the question, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I beautiful enough? Am I handsome enough? Do I have what it takes? What about what God thinks? There was an old chief sitting around a campfire one night with all of his young warriors telling him about this. And he said to all the young warriors as he's trying to mentor them, he says, here's the deal. You're going to have two wolves inside you competing for your identity in your life. And the one wolf will tell you, here's who you are. Here's the kind of warrior you're called to be. Here's the sort of man that you're called to be. Here's the way that you're called to live, what you're called to do. And there's another wolf that's going to tell you all kinds of lies. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You don't measure up. And so one very wise warrior, young warrior, sitting around the campfire that night, listening to the chief, said, well, chief, I have a question for you. He said, sure, lay it on me. He said, I want to know how to make the voice of the wolf that tells the truth louder and the voice of the wolf that speaks lies softer. How do I do that? And the chief said, that's a really, really good question. And the answer is really simple. The voice of the loudest wolf is the one that you feed. And here's the thing, 21st century people of God. Our tendency is to look everywhere else and let those voices speak into our lives, and then we sprinkle just a little bit of the Word of God in and hope it seeps its way in to tell us who we are. It doesn't work. You want to know who you are in Christ. You want to know what your purpose is. You want to know what God thinks about you. You've got to drink from the Word of God like a fire hose. And to pray and listen for the voice of God like it's a fire hose. So God would tell you who you are and what you're called to be. It's a question of who you're going to listen to. And if there were one scripture verse to orient your life at the beginning of 2026, I think it's this one. John chapter 10 at verse 10. Let's read it together. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Whose voice are you going to listen to? The voice of a good shepherd who created you in his image, who gave you a purpose, who's given you gifts, who's inserted you into this creation for this time and this space to bring about his plan? Are you going to listen to the God of the universe who speaks the truth and speaks it in love in a convicting kind of way through the Word of God and through prayer? Or are you going to listen to the voice of a serpent who lies? Because the one that you drink in more is the one that's going to be speaking in your life. I want to encourage you that in our teaching notes on the app today, I've given you a link to link up to a Bible reading plan. I would love for you to get this going in your life so you could drink the Word of God in. I would encourage you to set aside 10 minutes in the morning to drink in every day from the Word of God, to pray, to listen for His voice, and to begin to let your life be shaped by what God thinks about you, rather than by someone or something else. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of the Good Shepherd, the one who comes to give us life and a life that's abundant. And God, we recognize this morning that all too often we let too many voices, too many serpents, too many whispers into our lives, and we allow this to shape us so we become somebody else's image rather than yours. And so, God, this is our prayer today. Help us stop listening to the lies. forgive us this morning for caring more about the affirmations of others than in doing what's good and pleasing and right in your eyes. And Jesus, we pray that you would not only save us from our sins this morning, but that you would be the Lord and leader of our lives. Good Shepherd, we want to hear your voice. And we recognize we spend all too much time in every sort of media other than the one that is thousands of years old and unchanging and unparalleled in its truth. So God, as we start 2026, put us in your word. Shape us in prayer. And help us become the people that you've created us to be. We make this our humble prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said,
Amen.